This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. The blood thinner Eliquis and the arthritis drug Enbrel are two of 10 medications the Biden administration is targeting as it works to negotiate lower prescription prices from pharmaceutical companies this year. The power to negotiate prices became law last year. If costs do go down, patients wouldn't see cheaper drugs until 2026. Drug companies say this could curb profits, which will curb their ability to pay for more research on new medicines. Drug company shareholders would also feel the pinch. Dan Gorenstein is host and executive editor of a health policy news organization called Tradeoffs. He's also a former reporter here at Marketplace, if the name is familiar. He spoke to my colleague Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
So, Dan, Medicare, the federal insurance program that covers some 65 million people, is one of the pharmaceutical industry's biggest customers. It spends north of $100 billion a year on medications. But until Congress passed the Inflation Reduction Act last year, Medicare had never been able to directly negotiate drug prices. So what now?
So Medicare just named its first targets 10 of the highest cost drugs. First, those drug makers have to decide whether to belly up to the negotiating table, Nancy. If they refuse, they'll face huge fines. Then Medicare has this one big question. What is a fair price for these drugs? To answer that, they'll look at a whole bunch of data, how well these meds work, how much they cost to make. But they haven't said how they'll combine those ingredients to land their price. I loved how Steve Pearson, who heads up ICER, a kind of nonpartisan drug pricing think tank, described this.
At least what Medicare has started out with sounds a little bit more like you take a pinch of this, a pinch of that, and you throw it in a blender and you see what happens.
All told, Nancy, this new negotiation power is expected to save Medicare $100 billion over the next decade.
And no surprise here, but I know pharma is upset about this. They've already filed 8 lawsuits. What's this about, Dan? Just money?
I mean, yes, drug makers stand to lose hundreds of billions of dollars over the next few decades. But pharma argues it's more than cash, that if you make selling drugs less lucrative, companies will stop making risky investments to develop, say, the next game-changing cancer drug. Here's Lauren Nevis from pharma.
We may not see the immediate impact of this on innovation tomorrow, but we are definitely going to see it for patients 10 years from now, patients 20 years from now.
Any sense how or if this new policy will curb those future cures?
That's the question, but no one really knows, Nancy. Now, there are some estimates. The federal government calculates it'll just be a few new drugs a year. One industry trade group put it at nearly 150 in the next decade alone. Some of the best evidence that we have comes from economists at Northwestern, and they found any drugs we do lose are likely to be at the edges, not the big-time blockbusters that we all want.
Okay, Dan, so where do we go from here? What's next?
By next February, Medicare will make its opening price offers. Drug makers get one chance to counter, then the two sides go back and forth haggle for a few more months. But by next fall, Medicare will be like, this is our best and final offer, take it or leave it. And those lower prices will take effect in 2026. Then Medicare gets to do this whole process all over again for 15 drugs next year and a total of up to 60 drugs, Nancy, by the end of this decade.
Dan Gorenstein is host and executive editor of the nonprofit health policy news organization Tradeoffs. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Nancy.